Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? Yeah, not great for our already struggling environment. That's why I'm so excited to talk about our partner today, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. And the concept is pretty simple. You just fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. I literally just tried out the laundry tablet, and instead of having to bring my huge container like I normally do down the hall, I just brought the one tablet and my clothes came out so clean, just as clean as normal. I'm fully on board. It just makes my life easier and I'm helping the environment. And the best part, Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/dateable. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/dateable for 15% off. That's blueland.com/dateable to get 15% off.
The Dateable Podcast is an insider's look into modern dating that the Huffington Post calls one of the top 10 podcasts about love and sex. On each episode, we'll talk to real daters about everything from sex parties to sex droughts, date fails to diaper fetishes, and first moves to first loves. I'm your host, Yue Xu, former dating coach turned dating sociologist. You'll also hear from my co-host and producer, Julie Krafchik, as we explore this crazy dateable world. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Dateable, a show all about modern dating. I know we've all been on dates where you are on a date with someone, but then you're like, are you on a date with me? Because you're talking at me and right. Not to me.
Oh God, yeah.
I can definitely recall a few of those where I kind of find myself just sitting there thinking, am I even here? Am I existing?
I had a date kind of recently where I was like, I'm going to do the 2-drink rule. This is like the new rule that I've learned from Dateable.
Which
that
is good. Doing. Yes.
Agreed. Because sometimes people just are nervous at the beginning.
Yeah.
This guy did not ask me a single thing until we were ready to do a 3rd drink. And at that point, I'm like, I can't do this anymore.
No.
Yeah. Like, it's really tough being on a date like that because it doesn't feel like a conversation. It just feels like someone wants to get their story out at you.
Yes. It's very much one-sided. And I feel like you and I are even more sensitive to it because when we interview guests for a podcast, we are the ones trying to get as much information as possible from them. So it is one-sided. So when you feel that way on a date, then then you feel like, wait, is this a podcast recording? Because this shouldn't be like this. Before we get to her story, I guess I should explain something to everyone. Have you heard the term mansplaining? Well, it's defined as the explanation of something by a man, typically to a woman, in a manner regarded as condescending or patronizing. Or another definition that was found was when a man condescendingly explains something to you in a manner that suggests you can't possibly know what he's talking about. I think there's woman-splaining too.
Oh, yeah.
It's just this idea of being on a date with someone who just constantly talks at you, who doesn't show interest or curiosity in who you are, who has a message they just want to get across, and you feel like you're just on a date with you're interchangeable. You could be anybody.
Right.
And they just want to talk to someone.
They're on the stage, basically, performing.
Yeah, they are performing. They have an agenda.
Yeah. It's one of those things with dating. It's like you don't think of it as the bad date. Like, you think of the horror date.
Catfishing you.
Yeah.
Or, like, leaving in the middle of the date. Those are, like, the horror stories.
Right.
Yes.
But I think, actually, like, some of the ones where you just feel, like, kind of disrespected, those actually are pretty bad, too. But I think there's always just a way to think about it. And I think with our guest today that we have, that Mindy, she kind of shared this as the mansplaining story. Mm-hmm. And it definitely was mansplaining in a sense. But I think to like what you just said, the term woman-splaining, mansplaining, whatever it is not overused, but it's kind of a catch-all for a lot of things.
Yeah, it's disrespect.
It's right.
Being a douchebag on a date. But you're right, Julie. We don't get these stories all the time in our email inbox being a dating horror story because these are the dates you tend to just forget. You don't want to think about them. You don't remember them. You probably don't even remember the conversation because it was just the conversation was so bad. But I'm glad.
It wasn't a conversation.
It wasn't a conversation. It was a presentation.
PowerPoint, Google Slides, everything.
That would be amazing. Can someone please do that? Bring a PowerPoint presentation. Hey, nice to meet you. So this is me. And you whip out your slides. Starting with slide number one. What I'm looking for.
Here's my LinkedIn profile. This is my resume.
Here are all the giphies to demonstrate how I feel right now. Unfortunately, I can actually see someone doing that. But no, that's
don't
not
put ideas in people's mind.
That is not the point of this episode. The point is the date should be a conversation, which means a back and forth, a discussion, also just that common curiosity and respect to learn about each other. Our guest today experienced something quite the opposite on a topic that really is calls for a lot of conversation and discussion. Yeah. It's just so interesting that he had to only talk about his side. But what is so interesting is, I bet you anything, Julie, that he walked away from this date thinking it was the best date ever.
I think everyone that has that one-sided, like the date I had, like the guy was ready to go for round three. Like he definitely did not realize that, like he hadn't asked me anything. And I think it's like, because we talk about this on the episode too, there's like a correlation of the amount you talk and you're heard versus like, that's how good you feel about a conversation. And that's why I think why people feel like these dates aren't good, because they're not feeling heard.
Yeah. They're not part of it.
So it's the opposite. They're having the best date ever.
How can two people walk away feeling so different? Well, Mindy's here to tell us. She is, she's been in San Francisco for 8 years, originally from Orange County. She's 29 years old, single, and actively going on dates with people who mansplain, but also hooking up and having fun. And
not with people that mansplain.
Not with people who mansplain. Or maybe, who knows? But I love her little 2 to 3 sentence summary of what her story or topic is about, because we have all of our guests fill out a form, and she said our topic is about homeless by choice, PhD mansplainer. That should just be the title.
PhD in mansplaining. Oh my God, I love it. I love it. I think though, like, okay, we can bitch about bad dates, and I think the point of Dateable is like, how do we overcome this, right? Yeah. Because we can't control someone showing up and just spewing out their life story and resume, but it's like, how do you react to it? So I think we got to some good ways to deal with the situation in this episode. So
And maybe this will be a good episode for all of you to recognize if you are a mansplainer or woman-splainer
yourself. You're a PhD in mansplaining. Check you got it. That PhD?
Right, you got that or you just got a master's, huh? You're just still working on that PhD.
Bachelor's, you're getting there. We could go all day with
that. All day, but we won't, because Mindy is here to tell us her story. We've all experienced a little bit of mansplaining in our lives, but this is the focus of your story, Mindy, if I'm correct on that. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely had a mansplainer.
Tell us about this infamous date.
So, you know, on Bumble, just kind of swiping left and right, run into this guy. Looks cute. Looks like we have a few like things in common. He lives in Berkeley. He's a PhD student. Great. Smart, intellectual. I also went to Berkeley, so, you know, go Bears. So we match.
Go Bears. So did she.
So we match, and we're chatting a little bit. But in the back of my head, I'm like, well, is it going to work? You live in the East Bay. It's not really what
long
I'm looking
distance.
For. Long distance is really hard. It's not what I'm looking for.
Crossing that bridge is really hard.
Yeah. And so we match, and we talk for a few days, and he's like, hey, you know, I'm going to be in San Francisco this weekend. I'm going to get drinks with my friends on Sunday if you want to meet up after. So I was like, this is perfect.
Convenient.
Best of both worlds. You know, I get to meet you and I don't have to go and leave like my neighborhood. So we chat a little bit more, and then the week flies by and we don't talk that much more, which looking back, maybe I should have dug in a little more, but we go. And so Sunday rolls around and we're supposed to meet around 6 p.m. And he texts me earlier. He says, hey, my friend had to leave a little early. I'm ready to meet up whenever, but I understand that, you know, we had plans to meet at 6. So if not, I have my copy of The Economist, so I'm fine. I'll just meet you at the bar later. I'll read for a little while.
Oh, so bougie.
I know. I was like, I read The Economist too, but I don't think I found that a little off-putting. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
so
I don't think it's
like, yeah. Just like, no big deal. I brought my Economist, so we're
just
good.
Just happened to be in my pocket all the time.
So intellectual. So, you know, I walk my dog, get a little ready, and I walk over. We immediately, there was something off and I didn't really click with him. Mm. But I was there and I felt like it was really rude to just kind of walk out. So
we have had someone do the 5-minute date before on the show that they show up and they're like, nope, next.
You know,
it's tough.
I think that there may be some value to that after this experience. But yeah, at the time I was like, oh, it's super rude. I should just have a beer. Worst case, what's the worst that can happen?
Right.
And in the back of my head, I was like, well, this guy was studying urban poverty and like in cities and city planning. So specifically looking at homelessness in large cities. So live in San Francisco. It's a huge problem here. I was like, at the very least, I can maybe learn something interesting from this guy.
Absolutely.
Right? You know, it's a problem that's really hard to solve and we all face it every day. So we chat a little bit and what I learned later was the number one rule for a PhD student, which is don't ask them about their dissertation. So thus began my the world's longest beer pretty much. So
how long were you there?
I was there for one beer, but it felt like so long. I don't know. Too long.
I guess it doesn't matter the actual time. Right. It's what you perceive.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was probably not even, I'm probably like an hour tops, but.
But still, an hour an someone explaining their time. Dissertation to you would seem like 5 years.
Yeah, so, you know, I asked him a little bit about what he's studying and like what his focus of his research is. And, you know, as I mentioned before, it was homelessness in large cities. And so I try to interject, oh, you know, I read this really interesting article about in Salt Lake City, they did this wonderful project and it was really successful. And before I can even get that sentence out, he interrupts me. He's like, oh, that's not something that would work here.
Ew.
Which, you know, obviously every city is different, but, you know.
Right.
It's kind of a conversation.
Yeah. I was pretty taken aback by it. I'm like, oh, okay. And then he starts to dive into, this is why that wouldn't work. And that's why they're wrong. This would never work here. My study, like what I'm studying is so much more complicated and, you know, just a lot of vomit inducing thoughts and sentences. So I'm starting to get a little more uncomfortable with the situation, but still 3 or 4 sips into my beer. So it's kind of this weird situation.
Start chugging.
So that's kind of also like the last time I really got anything in. So he starts talking about his research and all of these things. And I'm like an idiot, keep trying to engage in the conversation, you know, like
right.
He said something like, oh, there's one shelter bed for every 84 homeless people in San Francisco, I think was the number. And that's pretty horrific. They get kicked out every morning and then have to get back in line. It's just this whole thing. And so I interject, oh, well, you know, shelters are, from what I understand, I worked at a homeless shelter. I volunteered for 5 years at a women's clinic, and what I understood from that was they're not very safe, so a lot of people aren't really that into it. And again, what he says is they're not actually that unsafe. I was like, oh, cool.
But you're speaking from experience here.
Yeah, and I didn't realize he was a homeless woman either, so that was kind of right.
For men, it's not, yeah, may not like, be really? The same situation. Yeah.
So then he, well, you know, I was homeless for a little while. Excuse me?
Say what?
Yeah, like kind of record screech, and I was like, what's where is this going? And he's like, well, you know, for a year, for part of my research, I decided that I wanted to know what it was like to be on the ground in these shelters. So he gave up his apartment in Berkeley, moved over to San Francisco and rented a place here, but like 3 days a week would sleep in shelters.
So he wasn't really homeless.
So he's taking up space at these shelters that are lacking space.
Exactly.
For that was his bougie research.
Exactly what I said. And his, because at this point I'm so mad. He's been just a total asshole for maybe 30 minutes. So I say that exactly that. And he's like, well, my research is going to help these people at some point. And continues to just interrupt me. And every sentence is just, I can't get anything in. It's just the epitome of like explaining what homelessness is really like and how difficult it is and like the lack of dignity that these people feel, which I empathize with, but I wasn't really getting it from this guy who is a like cisgender white male who is studying this from Berkeley, which is a completely different perspective. And so
also it's like, I get the dedication to research, but you're not homeless. Mm-hmm. Like you have an apartment that you're living in 5 days a week.
You're eating for free off of our tax dollars for your research.
Couldn't you just like go in and observe?
But that wouldn't
there?
Be the true experience according to him. Yeah, because I was really digging into him at this point because I had very, very little patience left, I guess. And I mean, he kept telling me lots and lots of stories about all this stuff. But ultimately, he was just so upset about the fact that, like, I even questioned him, too. He was just really digging in and getting very defensive. And he was like, well, you can never understand because where you grew up and all this stuff, too. You know, I was just, it was a lot.
What was his reason for getting into this kind of research?
You know, I honestly don't know. I think ultimately, he's probably not a bad person. I just think that he has, he obviously cares, right? This is not a field where he's going to make a lot of money, but it was just, I think his downfall was that he really just stopped understanding and empathizing and just kind of felt like he was the only person that was right and only knew, like, he wasn't open to any conversation about it.
So did you guys, like, talk about anything else or did, like, the bear end at that point?
I mean, it was really hard for me to get anything else in at that point, and he just kind of dug in more and more. I don't know how much detail you want to get me to get into it, but it was... But pretty much that, and then I chugged my beer, and I was trying to leave. And, I mean, ultimately, actually, I was so desperate for an excuse to leave because of just how, like, agitated and weird and uncomfortable I was. I think my excuse was I have to go because I'm planning, like, I was planning a trip to Southeast Asia, and I had to go meet my group on a phone call or whatever. I had already had the phone call, but it was the first thing that came to mind. He was like, oh, well, where are you going? And I was like, oh, wow. Are you actually going to ask me a question about myself on this date? Like, okay. So maybe there's still hope. So I told him where I was going, and he started to tell me where I should avoid, what I should do,
sure. He knows,
like,
everything.
Oh, yeah. He's like, well, definitely don't even bother going to, like, this part of the country. I'm like, you should really. I was like, I got to go.
Peace.
I know. So then as I'm walking home, he texts me. He's like, that was so great. I had such a great time talking to you.
Oh, my God.
Would love to see you again. And I don't believe in ghosting. I don't condone ghosting. I blocked his number because I was, like, so traumatized by, like, everything that had happened during the date. It was just so stressful and such an unpleasant experience that I also just was like, I'm done.
It's so funny how two people can have totally different views of how that date just went.
Yeah.
I went to a Conversation 101 course once, and the instructor said the main barometer of how successful a conversation is, or how someone views a conversation, is how much they got to talk about themselves.
Oh, so he probably was
When people say, I had a really great conversation, they actually just meant they were able to talk about themselves a lot.
That checks out. And that, I mean, he must have had a great time, because from his perspective, I was also very polite for the first half of it while I was still because I'm so, like, conditioned to just be like, okay, I'm gonna smile, grin and bear it, I'm just gonna get through this beer, it would be rude for me to leave, why not, you know. From his perspective, I was probably having a really great time, you know.
And I mean, I'm sure you're not the first girl that he's basically spent the whole date mansplaining. It's probably a very normal occurrence, right?
I was gonna say, I wonder how many times he's done this, or this is his MO. He just talks about this research on every date if it's asked.
So I had, like, I think one of the worst dates I've ever been on was similar, that different topic that's actually, like, in retrospect, I don't know why I just didn't get up and leave. I think if it was in this day and age, it was also a while ago, I probably would have got up and left. But he basically just spent the whole date telling me how terrible women were. And, like, basically he put women into, like, a couple buckets, and, like, some of them were just, like, so rude to him. And, like, when he would go to Whole Foods and, like, try to pick them up, they would just ignore him and, like, all this stuff. And
that's really where I want to get picked up. It's like the Whole Foods when I'm in my, like, sweatpants.
He was, like, telling me, like, stories about, like, how women, like, wouldn't return, like, sexual favors for him. And just, like, I think the same thing, that I'm just a curious person. So I'm like, you know what? I'm already here.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to keep asking questions. And then at the end of the day, he also...
This is the best day ever.
Yeah. And I had the same reaction. The reason I thought of this, because I very much don't believe in ghosting too, but this is the one person when he, like, reached out, I just, like, couldn't reply to, because I was just like, I can't ever replay and get that hour back of my life.
It was honestly, like, fairly traumatizing looking back at it. I laugh now because it is ridiculous. I call it my, like, my homeless date, like, the date with a homeless guy. But he was just so agitated by the end of it too. I was a little uncomfortable, and I couldn't, every time I tried to say something, I was so obviously wrong that I began to, like, look at people at the bar, like, does no one realize that I'm shrinking in my seat, like, dying? Like, where is my knight in shining armor to come rescue me? But ultimately, I just had to walk away because he was just so intense, too.
Well, I mean, in Julie's case, insulting women is one thing.
Right.
But in your case, Mindy, he's talking about his dissertation, a topic that may not be offensive. So what do you think bothered you the most about this date? So what do you...
Let's take a quick break for a brand new dating app called Flutter. So get this. This app only works on Sundays, with matches and messaging expiring at midnight. So you kind of have to move relationships beyond the app. As you all know, some of the biggest complaints about dating apps today is the lack of accountability and responsiveness. But if you think about it, dating apps really should be the icebreaker, the tool to make intros, and not the place where relationships are meant to live. Flutter's limited time window is that special sauce. Their members are encouraged to take their relationships off the app to a place where they will be more responsive. Also, they're currently only in the Bay Area, but they plan on expanding to more cities this year. So download Flutter from the App Store today and experience a refreshing new way to online date. Again, that's Flutter, F-L-U-T-T-E-R. Download the app from the App Store today. Now back to the show.
What do you think bothered you the most about this date?
I mean, I think ultimately it was his attitude. I was genuinely interested, right? Like, mm-hmm. I really did want to learn about what he was talking about, but it was just his, like, dismissiveness with
right.
whenever I tried to interject. Because, you know, a conversation is a two-way street, right? Mm-hmm. If I say, oh, I read this really great article about Salt Lake City and how they did X, Y, and Z with their homeless population. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I recognize that Salt Lake City and San Francisco are two very different cities. I don't need you to cut me off, dismiss me, and say, like, my opinions are really invalid.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's where Yeah. Like, and then he just got very, like I said he got agitated. Like, he just kept getting his demeanor. He got very upset when he was talking about some of the experiences that he was having when he was homeless, mm-hmm. quote unquote homeless. So I think that's what it was. It was just like this weird level of just dismissiveness. And also, like, I was getting a little nervous with how agitated he was becoming too.
Mm. I think people just want to be heard in general. Like, mm-hmm. that goes back to your yeah. study, right? Of like, when you have a really good conversation, you're the one talking, yeah. and you'd probably say at a really bad conversation if you didn't get a word out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's like, when I've been on dates and it hasn't been necessarily someone like mansplaining, but they'll just kind of keep talking and not really ask you any questions.
Yeah.
And it just feels like they want like a showroom.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
it's tough because I'm like, is it in a malicious way? Like, he might just be like trying to impress, or like genuinely just doesn't really see that they're doing something wrong.
Yeah. Mm. It could be like nerves. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And I think people are pretty passionate about things that they spend so much of their lives researching and studying. So again, I don't think he's a bad person. I just think that overall, it was so hard to just be in a place where you just can't even get a word in. And it's not even just like it's a bad first impression. It left a bad taste in my mouth.
I mean, I'm no psychologist, but it sounds like he has symptoms of a narcissistic personality. Just mm-hmm. someone who cannot accept someone who is at their level, mm-hmm. who needs to be the one explaining and right. educating all the time.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't even call this mansplaining. I think this is just someone who thinks that they're above other people, mm-hmm. who feel like they're always right and they know more information than you do. This is an interesting statistic. I read a lot about narcissism for years because I didn't know if I was dating a narcissist. I didn't know if I was attracted to narcissists, but I felt like I was seeing symptoms that were very consistent. And a statistic showed that many clinically narcissist personalities end up with a partner who doesn't speak English very well, which is like, bam, that makes so much sense. The partner is like,
They can't speak up ever.
Because they can't really speak up. They just are always in agreement. They're always impressed by what they're saying, right?
That's so interesting.
Isn't that fascinating?
It makes so much sense, though.
I mean, that's a good question. Like, you brought up a good point. Like, I feel like we are quick to say mansplaining mm-hmm. in this time, right? Like, when yeah. women
There's a very gendered situation there, yeah, but it right. could be.
It could be another
he
way
He could
around,
just be like
too.
That with everyone.
Right. Right. Or women, I feel like, could also be the same.
For sure.
So it is tough because I think like my instinct too is like mansplaining, because that's like the buzzword that you hear all the time.
Yeah, it's very in.
Yeah.
It's very in.
Super in vogue right
like,
now.
Yeah, like if he was doing the same thing to another man, they would also be very like put off by it probably.
Mm-hmm. I wonder though, I felt part of what really stood out to me was his dismissiveness of like when I was saying, you know, I mm-hmm. volunteered in this women's
right,
shelter.
Yeah. Right.
And he was like, it's really not that dangerous for women. I was like, it's really hard for me to like recognize that you understand what the experience is like for a woman right. in these shelters. And for him to have been so dismissive of my experience as well was kind of played into the mansplaining thing.
That's
a little
very
bit
alarming
yeah.
to me.
Because I was actually doing some research on mansplaining examples for this podcast.
We did so much research.
But like a few came up, and like there was like a big piece of it was like when men talk about experience experiences, like they know a woman's body better than she does. Or like, even there was one example that I was like, oh, this is interesting. Like, I would never have thought of this, but like if a guy is like, smile, or you should smile more, it's like kind of like telling you how your body should behave.
That's interesting.
Or the other one is like having your field of expertise kind of explained to you. So while this wasn't necessarily your field of expertise, but you had a valid point, if it was another man, would he have dismissed it as much? I guess we don't know. But that's like the other big piece. Or the other is like when situations where women are more like outsiders, like if it's like about like buying a car or like camping or like traditional manly man type things. So even if you go camping every week, someone's gonna like be like, no, I got it, right?
Yeah, I love when you just hear like a story or see something on Twitter where a man is explaining some concept to a woman and it happens to be like the author of like the leading book of that field or something like that. Right. Like, oh, really? That book you're quoting? I wrote that.
Right.
But yeah, I think that you have a point there. We don't really know whether or not he is like mansplaining, but I do think that there is some level of like, I felt like he didn't take my opinion seriously for a plethora of reasons. And I do, to your point, I do think he would do a lot better with someone that didn't push back on him at all.
Right. Who was just extremely impressed by his research and agreed with everything he said.
Yeah. So how do we deal with situations like this that may or may not be mansplaining, but you're on a date where you feel like it's mansplaining, right? Yeah. It doesn't even necessarily matter if it is, if you're feeling it. Like, how are ways that like people can kind of avoid this? Or
I'm sure, Mindy, you fantasize about the scenario over and over, because I've had this and I go back and then I think, oh, why didn't I say this in the moment? Why didn't I do this?
Yeah.
What are some of those fantasies you have?
I mean, my biggest fantasy was that I just walked
peace out.
Just, I'm done. I'm sorry.
I mean, honestly, like sometimes, like we've talked to other guests, like we had like a podcast host, Erin Rachel Doppelt, member from Wise Women Podcast, and she coaches women. She's like, if you're not feeling it, just fucking leave. Yeah. It's like sometimes there are situations where it's just not worth your time.
And I think to what we were talking about earlier about like the 5-minute date and all these things and how we feel like it's rude. I think in my mind, I've been so programmed to be friendly and to be polite and all this stuff. There's all these things that do come with being a woman. And I think because I just sat there and smiled, like politely, like drank my beer for half the beer before I started to actually kind of poke the bear back, he still was like, at the end of the day, like, wow, I had such a great time with you. And I was like, you had no idea how miserable I was, because I wasn't letting off how miserable I was. So I think it would have been really great if I had just been like, I'm done, this is not gonna work. And then there's no, like, it's very clear, right?
Yeah.
Because then I also still ultimately ghosted him, which, you know, is not great.
Right.
But if I had just been able to be like, you know what, you suck, dude.
But is that productive? Like, does a person like this take criticism well? Or should we give them some sort of feedback? Because could you end the date and say, you know, I really felt like you were being dismissive on some of my experiences. Right. I feel like you were being condescending.
Yeah. I think there's value to that to some extent. But I also just think that's more emotional labor that, like, I don't really want to deal with at this point. But again, this was a few years ago. So maybe there's value in both things. Right?
Let me change up the scenario then, Mindy. Okay. If a good friend of yours said, Mindy, I have a friend I want to introduce you to. She's new to the city. She is new to the city. Yeah. You guys grab a coffee. And this exact scenario happens. What would you do in that case?
That's interesting. Because there's a level of your friend. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like some social pressure there. You know, I don't know. You know, I would like to say that I would feel the same way. It is a little harder when you're looking at it from a romantic perspective, because if I'm looking at this person as a partner, that's not what I want in my life on a day-to-day basis. I want someone who can meet me at my level, who respects my opinion,
because
I'm a very outspoken person. If it's a friend of a friend and, you know, she just needs to grab coffee and pick my brain about San Francisco or whatever, I could probably get through it and then just avoid her pretty easily.
Because we're more tolerant of that.
Yeah. I don't have to have her in my life, right?
Right.
Like, you know, it's just like a favor for a friend. If, you know, like one of you asked me, like, yeah, sure.
I think the other side of it is like, is there intent bad, right? We're assuming their intent is bad. Could you, one, let them know, like, hey, like, can I get a word in? Like, call them on it kind of as you're talking. Like, wait, hold up for 1 minute. Like, I have actually worked at a homeless shelter. Yeah. I have an opinion that's valid. Like, really directly call it and see how they react. Because there's a chance that they'll be like, no.
Yeah.
Or there's a chance that they're like, oh, shit, I didn't realize I was doing that.
Yeah.
So there is, like, kind of giving the benefit of the doubt at least once.
Yeah, I think that's
fair. If it keeps happening.
Right.
Because dates are nerve-wracking, you know? Like, it's just, especially for people that I'm pretty extroverted. So I go and I'm there. Right. But if you're more introverted, it's a lot more of a just a whole process of like getting yourself amped for it and like what's going to happen and what's the conversation going to be. So it is totally valid that he was not being malicious at all. And I was just like, oh my God, yeah. I love this guy.
But you also have to be true to your own feelings mm-hmm. and say, I am not enjoying myself on this date. In fact, I am fucking miserable. Yeah, right. I want to get out.
Yeah.
So why even give them the benefit of the doubt? Because at that point, it's your life. You mm-hmm. have to control the situation.
Yeah. And I think it taught me a lot about like trusting my gut. Like, I had that like initial gut reaction. And I mean, like, I wasn't just embellishing that for the story after. I was just like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know what it is, mm-hmm. but there's some weird vibe here. But I also was just like, you know, benefit of the doubt. You're probably a nice guy. So might as well, like, you know, well-lit place. You're probably not going to murder me.
But this is why we condone the phone call before meeting up in person. Because he would have done this over the phone and you could have just easily hung up.
That's true.
I mean, that's the other thing. Like, what is that line of too many questions before you ever meet up? Because mm-hmm. you don't want to, like, keep asking questions and never meet the person. But also, I'm very wary of those people that ask you to meet up, like, immediately.
Yeah.
I feel like you need to at least, like, I don't know what conversation you had with him. I know you said, like, admittedly, it could have been a little longer.
Yeah, we chatted a little, but I think the fact that he was like, hey, I'm going to be in town.
Right.
I was just like, okay, like, you know, why not? And I was pretty newly single at this point. It was maybe like 4 months after or 5 months after I had gotten out of a long-term relationship. I'd probably only been on the apps for a few months. Mm. So I was still kind of feeling my way through the etiquette and all that stuff. And now but you're right. Like, there's some conversations that just go on forever. And then there's just like the people that are like, hi, you want to meet right now. And so there's like this weird happy line of, I need to know something about you, I think.
Yeah, we had a guest, Meredith, that used to work at the League dating app. And I remember she had like a good point that was like, can you do a back and forth banter so you know at least like three solid things about their life? Yeah,
right. That's a really good rule.
Right. It's like, I know like a little bit about you, but there's also some mystery.
So because you want something to talk about on the date.
Right. Yeah. And also, you don't want to like form one, but you want to be excited about the date too. Right. I think that's the other thing. Like, some of my best online dates have been people that I've been excited to meet before I got there.
It's really funny. Right? Some of my best dates are the ones I have the lowest expectations for.
I mean, that's the part. Well, that's the part that's tricky.
That's a risk you take, though.
Yeah.
That's the part that's tricky because I remember like my roommate, like when she first tried online dating, she like was like in love with this dude. Uh-huh. And I was like, you need to slow your roll a little. Like, why don't you guys meet up first?
Yeah.
And she came back and she's like, he was boring as shit in person. Like, he was a great, like, messenger, like, you writer.
Worst is when you have text banter that's 100%. And then you meet and you're like, are you
because
the same
person?
Because
they're probably hiring a coach to write those messages for them.
And that's what makes, and some people just need the thought process, right?
For
like,
sure.
They're better when they think. That's what makes online dating really tough.
Yeah.
It's because there isn't like a hard fast.
Yeah.
Let's hold that thought for a sec. We'll get right back to it.
I wish there was like a list of rules, like, and then everyone can just follow it and there's no, you know.
Right.
Just like, okay, 10 messages. If you're not feeling it, whatever it is. But it is hard because there's so many like subtle cues and vibes and things too that happen, and then you're nervous and it's very hard. Like, sometimes people are really nervous on their first date, but like maybe your second or third date you're like, wait, this guy is actually great, which is why it is really hard to do online dating, because it's hard to give people that much time when there's so many people, like, you have your hands in different pots and there's it's just a lot. But you know, some of my longer relationships were people that the first date I was like, well, I think so, I'm not sure, but you're really cool and you're worth a second date, and like maybe we can like have a more fun date. And it was like they opened up so much more. It was more spontaneous, you know.
Let's hold that thought for a sec. We'll get right back to it. If you're a dog lover or if you have dogs, have you ever wondered why so many dogs are suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more health issues with dogs than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place where we can look to support any dog's health, and that's their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Now, Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the health healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And I actually love giving Mojo this as a topper. I feel good that there are no fillers, and it's also air dried. So that means it retains more nutrients. Mojo's usually pretty picky about what he eats, so I'm glad that he now enjoys every meal. And now you can treat your dogs to healthy, nutritious food. Go to badlandsfood.com/dateable and order right now to get up to 50% off your first regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsfood.com/dateable today. Want relationship advice from one of the leading experts in the field of couples therapy? Then Reimagining Love is for you. Hosted by one of our favorite guests on Dateable, Dr. Alexandra Solomon. She is a clinical psychologist, couples therapist, professor, and award-winning author. It is your destination for profound, enlightening discussions about love, family, intimacy, and everything in between. But more than that, she gives us the opportunity to reimagine ourselves, our relationships, and our world. So on the show, Dr. Alexandra gives in-depth research-backed takes on topics like dating, jealousy, communication, commitment, personal growth, and features notable guests from the worlds of therapy, academia, and pop culture, such as me and Julie from Dateable, among other people you may have heard of like Esther Perel, Susan Cain, and Emily Nagoski. Her podcast is incredible, definitely worth a listen. We loved being on it, and we love having Dr. Alexandra on our show. So you can find her podcast, Reimagining Love, wherever you get your podcasts.
I think what's important with dating nowadays is because people are so ambivalent about first dates, they kind of walk away and they think, could go on a second date, could go either way. I think it's better to walk away from a date with a very strong opinion. Yeah. I'd rather go away from a date and say, I will never want to see this person
again.
So
you're saying the mansplainer is killing it then?
I'm saying actually, he did you a favor.
But did he do himself a favor?
He did. Well, maybe he did do himself a favor.
He's someone that's going to be able to put up with that if that's the type of person that he is, right?
I don't know him. I'm just going to take a guess. By virtue of him saying he's reading The Economist while he's waiting for you, I bet he's the type of guy who goes to his friends and says, I need a girl who's really intellectual, who's at my intellectual level.
But actually,
no, I just need a girl who just nods her head and tells me I'm right and I'm the best thing to ever happen to her.
Right.
So I think it's important to go on these dates. Yes, in hindsight, it was agitating and it's annoying to rethink what happened. But at the same time, I think you walked away knowing a couple things. Mm-hmm. One is you don't ever want to see this person again. But two, you're aware of next time when I'm talking about something I know a lot about, how I should present myself and allow room for the other person to also talk and to have a conversation.
Yeah. And not just dismiss their opinions, even if it's something that you may know 10 times more than they do, but they could have a valid point of view or something you've never thought about. If he was a real researcher, he would have openly enjoyed another perspective.
Exactly. For your situation, my biggest fantasy is, what if in the middle of the date, you whipped out your dissertation. You're like, bam! I thought you finished a PhD in this as well. And by the way, I have London Breed on the phone right now. Do you want to talk to her? Do you want to ask her how safe the shelters are? And then mic drop, get the fuck out of there. That's the ultimate. But
So have you ever been on a date that just mansplained or did something that was
No, the only time, because I was thinking about this while you guys were talking about your stories, the only time something similar happened to me was I went on a date with a guy who, before the date, he was very good about telling me what he likes and what he doesn't like. So, for example, I had to cancel our first date because I had a meeting that came up last minute. And he said, I really don't like last minute changes, but if you are serious about going out with me again, you are the one, the onus is on you. So I like that. Because he's like, if you want to make this happen, you make it happen. So we made it happen. But on the date, the first thing he said to me was, I asked him how he was, and the first thing he said to me was how depressed he was and how he just gave me this whole story about how he was at a phase in his life where he was lost and he was a little depressed and his sister was also depressed and he was just in limbo. It was just TMI for a first date.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And it didn't live up to sort of the commanding confidence that he had before going into the date. So that's also like kind of the opposite, right? Like,
yeah, that's interesting.
I felt like his therapist because I spent an hour of me being asking him questions like, how do you feel? What made you feel this way? What's the root cause? I'm like, what the fuck?
Did he ask you stuff?
Nothing.
That's the part that's really tough. Yeah.
Yeah. You always want to know, you want to learn about the other person, but it's a two-way street, right? Yeah.
And this isn't just men doing it.
No.
Women, I've heard so many men complain that women don't ask them shit.
Yeah.
No. And it's like them just asking questions and putting on a show.
You know what I would have loved to do now that I'm thinking about this? Is I would have loved to have quizzed him and asked him, like, what three things could you tell me about me?
Ooh, I
after
know.
This date?
I was thinking about that too.
Like, do you know anything about me that you didn't learn from my dating profile that like, you learned today?
Or instead of saying, instead of a leading question like that, hide it in another, like, basically ask him this question. So, what was it about me that made you want to go out with me?
Yeah.
And see what he says.
Yeah.
Because I'm super curious what drew you to him in the first place. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're just a warm body to listen to.
Apparently, yeah. He asked me if I could hear. But no, I mean, that's a really good point, right? Like, I think I actually did go on a date once where we, like, jokingly at the end of the night, he was like, tell me five things about me. And I was like, and I did. And he was like, can you tell me? He's like, yeah. And so I was like, oh, that's kind of cute. A fun,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
But it's just, you know, it is a two-way street on a conversation. And a date is like an interview, right? You're kind of just, you want to meet this person, you want to get to know this person. If I walk out and I have no idea if you know anything about me, but you still want to hang out with me, what does that say about you?
Right. Well, I think sometimes people too, like we've talked about this before, a date, you're really just trying to get to know another person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes, I do think some of this mansplaining, not to like reduce it, but I do think some of it comes from like trying to impress also. Mm-hmm. Like, I think there's a side that's like, I'm a know-it-all versus there is a side that's like, I want to make a good impression. Yeah. I want to feel like I know a lot about a certain topic.
Because you are trying to impress the person. Exactly. You're trying to convince the person that you're like worth seeing again, and like everyone's very busy and everyone's time is extremely valuable.
But would you do that like with that girl that you were getting coffee with? Like, would you spend the whole time like just talking about yourself to like someone of the same sex that you have no romantic interest in, right? Yeah.
So I think this is something for the dating apps to really be accountable for. All they do right now is they're responsible for the match and they throw you out in the wild and shit just happens and they don't give a damn. What if there was like closing of the loop?
There is
feature?
On Hinge. They ask you if you've met the person and what you think of them.
Oh, really?
But it's anonymous.
Yeah, it doesn't give them feedback,
which I think is probably for the best. But
I'm gonna pull it up right now because I'm just curious. I don't think they ask you like why.
They just say, "Did you meet?"
Right.
It's and like, then would you see them again? I think.
And then does that? What do they do with that feedback?
I don't know. I think they say it's to quote unquote make your like help. Okay. Recommend better matches to you.
So it's really for you.
So this is what it says.
Like you're not getting the feedback.
No. Did you meet this? Learning your type.
So it's really the Amazon model.
And then it's basically just asking if this is the type of person you'd see again. And then we hope it works out.
I think they scrape for like phone number. If they see digits in the message, and like a week later they're like, hey, did you meet?
Mm. Well, I just marked someone I didn't meet that I met in this test.
Oops.
Sorry, Hinge.
Oops. But I gave them great feedback, so.
But it would be good to, like, what if there was a star system, 1 to 5, after your date, you could rate them. And then it'll say, list three things you learn about them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, would you want to see them again? If there's a match, then your responses get shared. Mm-hmm. So you see what the other person responds back with the three things they learn about you. If there is no match that you then you never get nothing.
Yeah.
Or you could get it like aggregate so it doesn't reflect to one person because I could see things
kind of like how Lyft feedback is anonymized a little bit. Yeah.
It's like you get like a rating. You get like the rating system.
I don't know my rating.
I wouldn't want to know my rating because I'm so pissed about my Uber rating. 4.65
Seriously,
or whatever.
That is so freaking low. This is dangerous.
I think that would be slightly problematic. But I do think that there is value in that like feedback loop, right? Because there's so many rules. It's like, do I text you?
Yeah.
Do I text you the next day? Like, I'm like, I honestly just like really like when I get like a follow-up text. Yeah, like that night. Totally. If I had a good date, like if you get home and like something funny happened to you in your Lyft ride and you tell me about it, like that, I like that. Like I'm not gonna be like, oh, this guy is totally crazy. There's so many weird unwritten rules about how to do it. So like I think that would actually help some people if you wanted to opt into that of just be like, yeah, I did like this person, but I'm a little nervous about how to go about it.
Yes.
Or if you like got the positive rating from them, you'd be like, okay, this is a
go. I should text them. Yeah. Like
Like if, for your example, you went on Bumble to meet this guy. What if the next time you open Bumble, in order to use Bumble again, you have to give some sort of feedback about this current date?
Yeah, and like then he doesn't even have to text you, and then you don't have to ghost him. It's like a win-win-win.
Yeah, and then he gets some feedback.
I don't know. I could see that being dangerous, though. I wouldn't want a guy to get the feedback and, like, know who I am, know my name, like, all that stuff. So I feel
maybe
like
maybe not having the feedback, but maybe having just the yay or nay.
Yeah, like yay or nay. Enough. That's it. And that's another match, you know?
It would eliminate ghosting, which is a huge problem of dating. So
very true.
I think there's room for improvement for sure, but
so the takeaway is we stumbled upon a new feature that we should implement.
Before Bumble, call us if you want to talk it through it.
So before we go into takeaways, if you were to give this guy feedback, let's say the mansplainer homeless guy was to come on the show, he's in the closet right now.
He's in the closet. He's been sleeping there for a couple weeks.
Is he still homeless? Yeah. What would you say to him if you were on a sit down? What would you say to him?
Let's take a break for our wonderful sponsor, BetterHelp. Mental health is so important because it's totally infused into our daily lives, especially when it comes to dating. Now with BetterHelp, it is much easier to find online counseling and find an outlet to discuss your journey. I am so grateful I found BetterHelp. I make it a habit to talk to my therapist regularly because sometimes I just really need to talk things out. BetterHelp's therapists specialize in relationships, depression, and other areas that need TLC. Everything stays confidential, and with thousands of licensed therapists, you'll definitely find the best fit for you. For Dateable listeners only, get 10% off your first month with a discount code Dateable. Simply go to betterhelp.com/dateable, fill out a quick questionnaire to help assess your needs, and get matched with a therapist. Again, that's betterhelp.com/dateable, and use the code DATEABLE for 10% off your first month. Now back to the show.
If you're on a sit down.
I mean, I would probably, to your point, be like, you're pretty dismissive about everything that I had to say, regardless of whether I knew what I was talking about or not. You know, there's room for that. I'd tell him maybe not to open with, well, when I was homeless, as a sentence that you say on a first date. Like, that's just, there's nothing wrong with it. I understand, like, people go through different times in their life, but it's just a very jarring statement to hear on a date. But really, it was more just about his dismissiveness, right?
Like, it could have been any topic, but
dismissiveness. I understand the desire to be heard, but it's also, you know, kind of putting yourself in the other person's shoes and being like, they probably have a similar desire, and I'm there to try to get to know you, but you should also be there to try to get to know me. I'm not like your sounding board, so you can just be talking about how great you are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That would be good feedback. I hope he's listening right now.
I hope you are listening.
And if you ever want to give a lecture about homelessness in San Francisco, we'd love to have you on the show.
No,
just
we
kidding.
Won't.
No, we don't.
Contact Mayor London Breed.
Yeah. Please don't.
I mean, I think like takeaways is definitely like this whole piece of like there is another person there. At the end of the day, like this is like a connection you're trying to form. And I think you could limit your work to like a very small portion and try to diversify the topics on a date when it feels like it's like 99% about one person or one topic that the other person doesn't really know much about. It just doesn't lend itself to make someone feel comfortable and feel like they were heard and they got equal airtime, I guess.
Yeah. I think the main takeaway I have is it stems back to my dating coaching days when clients will come to me and say, my struggle with dates is that I'm not able to get all my talking points out because I want this person to know that I'm this, this, and this, and I accomplished this, this, and this. Everyone's so concerned about getting their sound bites out, they've forgotten that the point of dating is to learn. So I always say, switch it around. Your focus on dates is it's not to bring your publicist with you and sell you to the other person. your goal should be to learn something new. Mm-hmm. So what if our goal for every date that we go on is to learn three things new, not just about that person, just three general things that are new to you that right. you learn on this date? Then we would go in with a much more conversational mindset versus trying to get your talking points out.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. I was just joking with somebody that I'm like, if I'm going to be out there dating, I want to learn something.
Learn shit.
Like, I got a new podcast with this guy, and then
yeah.
I learned that I don't like dating homeless PhD students with this guy. But you have a point, right? Like, if you're more open-minded about it, then you can really actually start to get to know someone, and it kind of flows naturally, too. Like, if you learn something about them, you can say, oh, well, this is how it relates to this accomplishment that I had, if right. you really want to get it
right.
out, right? It's not like, don't bring your resume to my date, right? Like,
yeah,
I just want to get to know you.
You don't need to
right.
sell yourself.
No.
You should just naturally do it through the flow of conversation. Mm-hmm. Even with the homeless guy, I learned something new. I learned that you don't have to prove that you're homeless to be in a shelter.
Apparently, yeah.
Apparently not.
But I think, like, it's the point, too, like, this trying to impress. And to your point earlier, UA, that you brought up of that study, mm-hmm. is, like, people judge a good conversation of how much they contributed mm-hmm. also.
Yeah.
So in a way, you're actually like impressing more by letting someone have that airtime and the ability mm-hmm. to be heard and have that like open conversation than if you're just like spewing out your resume.
Yeah. That's what your dating profile is for. That's when you get your, you right. know, list out whatever you need to do. That's what your LinkedIn is for. People can search for all of that
Everyone's
before your
date. Everyone's searching for you yeah. anyway, especially
right.
women to men, to make sure you're a safe human being.
Yeah.
So,
but like something like what you said, Mindy, you volunteering at a women's clinic is not something that is searchable. That's not something mm-hmm. on your LinkedIn right. or your profile. So that's interesting. To get that kind of gold out of someone on a date, I think that's a sign of success.
And you were saying it because you were trying to relate to
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
You weren't just like spitting that out
exactly.
of nowhere. Like, it was relevant. So I think those are the best dates where like the conversation just like ping pongs and mm-hmm. you're not thinking about like, what are the five things
how
I need
do I
to
get
drop
in this,
in?
Into this conversation? You know, how do I steer the conversation too?
Exactly.
So that I can do X, Y, and Z. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Cool. Do we have time for a question of the day?
Let's do it.
Question of the day comes from Jackson. So he said, I went on a date recently with a girl and I found myself talking a lot throughout the date because it was hard to get her to engage in conversation. I would ask her a question, she would give me a one-word answer back, and then I just felt like I had to keep talking. However, the date did not result in a second date, so I'm wondering if I could have done something differently. Do you have any advice?
That's really hard.
I mean, I think it goes back to what we said, that it's a two-way street. Mm-hmm. So it's tough because she might have felt like you were dominating the conversation. But like, if you're not giving someone anything to work with,
yeah.
like there's only so much they can do also.
I almost empathize more with him because I think if you're not giving them anything to say, that's just silence. No one wants to sit in silence on a first mm-hmm. date. That's like most people's nightmare.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think it kind of just indicates that she either was super nervous or wasn't feeling it, right? If she's not giving him more, like unless she's an extremely shy, introverted person, it might take her a little bit longer to open up. But I don't know. There's not a lot you can do when no one's giving you anything to work with.
Some people, it takes them a while to get any sort of substance out mm-hmm. of them, but it's also not your job to pull teeth like
yeah,
that.
Right.
So it's a sign of two people not clicking mm-hmm. and it's a sign of unmatched people.
It's good that Jackson tried to ask questions
yeah.
because I think like sometimes people just expect like the other person will volunteer info. But I wonder like how it was approached, not to put Jackson down in any way, mm-hmm. but like if it was just like peppered questions, like that could have been off-putting
mm-hmm.
also. So maybe it was like, how could you like lean into it differently to make someone feel comfortable in some way? So again, we weren't at the date. We weren't there. So it's like hard to fully say. But I think just like being conscious of people have different ways that they communicate. They have different like openness on a first date.
Mm-hmm.
And then also to kind of the points we made earlier, sometimes you just need to cut your loss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think also maybe something to be cognizant of is also just, you know, where was the date? How was the conversation before? Was it great? And then she showed up and shut down. Mm-hmm. Maybe like maybe that's not like her not being interested, or maybe that's her not being comfortable in like in a bar setting or in a restaurant setting or something, right? Like just being aware of that. But there's not really much, I think, you're, to your point, you're right. Like I don't think there's a lot that we could have done, he could have done differently at that point.
The one thing I'm thinking of though is I'm thinking of that date, the whim date that you went on. I feel like there we had an episode where UA actually went on a date with someone and we got both perspectives. Ooh. He called you out and asked like, is there something that's bothering you? Like what's really going on?
Like, or like gave me feedback. Mm-hmm. I feel like you're not really opening up.
Yeah.
What's going on with something like how can we make this date more comfortable?
And I like that though.
I liked it because I feel like I like that type of personality. Yeah. Some people may be a little bit sensitive to it, but I don't think there's anything wrong with asking for feedback in the middle of the date. How are you feeling? Are you comfortable?
Yeah.
Do you feel like we're clicking or, you know, like...
Or do you want to go to a different place?
Yeah.
Do you want to go for a walk? Like, very recently, my roommate went on a date and... On our way there, she was, I think it was a second date, and the first date was great, and on the way there, she was a little nervous, and she was like, I don't know, I just don't want to, he's going to be late, and I don't want to hang out in a bar, and I was like, she's like, is it too late to cancel? I was like, just tell him, just say like, hey, I'm, you know, feeling a little anxious, or if I have a headache, it would be really great if we can do something else, and they did, and they just like, you know, went for a walk, they wandered around, they just chatted, like, they didn't need to go sit in a bar. And it was just like, a lot of feedback's really important, like, if you're nervous, or if you're not feeling up for something, or... Just giving people the honest feedback is really helpful because odds are the other person wants to accommodate you. If they're going out of their way to meet you, then...
Yeah, I mean, this girl could have been not feeling well. There could have been a zillion things. There could have been something in her personal life. There could have been so many pieces. I guess at that point, what do you have to lose?
Yeah.
Maybe it would be worthwhile. I don't know how long it's been, but just sending a follow-up if you haven't already and just say, like, I don't know, just asking what happened, you know? Maybe it's too late, maybe it's not, but...
Yeah.
Just be more observant. And letting the other person know that you care because you're spending time together. Mm-hmm. Oh, dating. Isn't it so much fun? So much guesswork. Mind reading. Guesswork. We're all trying to be psychics here. I think this person's feeling this way. Why can't we just ask?
Yeah.
Why can't we just say these things? It just boggles my mind that we can step back and say everything we want to say. But then in the moment, we just can't
We can talk about it on a podcast. We can
hundreds and thousands of people,
yeah.
But to that one person where it actually matters, we just can't, for some reason, we can't
bring ourselves to say. People don't like being vulnerable. It's very scary.
Or being totally honest. Yeah. I guess it's really hard. And also just like how to deliver, how to filter out your comments.
Well, I think it's really tough this day and age too, because you just don't know if you're ever going to see this person again.
Right.
Like to be super vulnerable, like if you're like, oh, I think I'm having a great date and then they're going to ghost me. Like you might not want
to start to build up a wall too.
Exactly, which is not good either because you need to like be vulnerable and have that openness to meet that person that will return it. But it is tough. Then that's like the downside of all these like bad dates. Like if you go on too many mansplaining dates or whatever, you start to get jaded. And I think that's the part that like makes dating really tough. So it's like, how do you like balance the two?
Yeah, we just have to be nice to each other.
Maybe that's the biggest takeaway is... After every date, end it in a way that if you were to run into this person again, that you feel comfortable saying hi to them. I went out with Leon a few nights ago. We had Leon as a guest on our show, who is one of the most popular, unpopular guests we've had. He talked about all the women he's burned in the past, and he's burned many women in San Francisco. So wherever we go, especially if there's a party, he has to look at the guest list because he has to look at all the women that he may have dated and burned in the past.
San Francisco is too small of a city for that.
But even like this happens in New York, this happens in London, this happens in any city where you date, right?
Because
you never know when you're going to run into someone. And I would hate to be Leon because there are so many places he can't go to, so many parties he's banned from because he's so afraid of running into this girl or this girl. So why don't we date in a way that we can walk away and say, even though there was no romantic connection, we ended it in a way that if I were to run into this person again, it'd be okay.
You don't have to like walk into a grocery store and then immediately walk out because you can't go in there.
Exactly. Like, I'm not saying this is, again, on you, but like you could have, like when he did text, be like, hey, like it was really interesting learning about your study. I'm just looking for someone that will kind of let me also be heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
End it.
Exactly.
Boom. Mic drop.
Mic drop right
there. And
the
next time you see him, you just wave at him. You're like, hey.
Yeah. Yeah. Or send a picture of you and London Breed.
Hey, opening our new homeless shelter for women.
Safe homeless shelter for
you're like, women. I'm sharing your dissertation with London Breed right now. And he's like, that's what you should have texted about.
Exactly. Yeah. Major mic drop. I love it. This is a great conversation. End of the day, it's we have to treat each other like human beings, how mm-hmm. we would treat friends, how we treat family. Dating is no different. I don't know why we put it in a different category,
right.
But these are humans that we're spending time with. They may just be a little bit different, and that is perfectly okay.
I think it's the perception, like this is a random person from the internet still. Mm-hmm. Even though online dating and dating apps are so prevalent, there's this feeling like, I'm never going to see this person again. And like, guess what? If you live in a small city, I've run into so many freaking people that I've gone on dates with before. And sometimes I ran into the women hater multiple times.
Mm-hmm. He
lived on my street.
Oh, no.
Like literally, I ran into him so many times and I would like do the duck because I'm like, I don't want to deal with this.
Yeah.
But
like,
you're going to see this person again. So it's like, how do you just end it in a way
that is
comfortable?
Friendly. It's nice.
It's kind of why I liked for a little while when I think it was Hinge and Bumble both would show you if you had mutual friends in common because it holds you accountable. You can't just ghost someone if you have 40 friends in common with them. You're probably going to see them again. And it forces us to see them as people and not just these random strangers on the internet because it's a little bit more anonymous that way. And you can get away with it.
To end this episode, on that note, I think you can also politely tell someone like that this was not a good date.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason you should like put up a friendly face to this guy. Like you could have politely just been like, I'm looking for someone that's going to respect me.
Yeah.
Done.
So here is a challenge to everyone who's listening right now. We talk a lot about what not to talk about on dates or what not to do on dates. But I think this question we get all the time, which is what does a great date conversation sound like? What are people talking about? And most people would say, oh, the conversation just flowed. We never had any dead air. It just felt like we had known each other forever. But what does that actually sound like?
Yeah.
So who's willing to take on a challenge of getting on a phone date with someone and we record it just so we can hear
what
a great date, even over the phone, would sound like. So if you're up for the challenge, definitely reach out to us
at
datablepodcast.com. Shall we wrap this up? Anything else?
No, that's it. I think,
fantastic. Everyone, go on some great dates. Have some great conversations. Don't talk about homelessness. Yeah. That's it.
Honestly, like, I do think I'd love to, like, just record a date because it's, like, funny because even I'm thinking of, like, my dates and it's, like, since you're, like, now removed from it, you can't play it back fully.
Yeah.
There are a lot of great people out there. I think it's, like, we can't let these, like, one eggs out there, like, put people, like, make people unsure. But I think the best dates are, like, when you're seen and heard.
Mm-hmm.
It's a two-way street. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's,
and
like,
you learn something new.
And you're, like, getting to a little deeper level, too.
Yeah.
I think that's, like, I know it's, like, vague. But I think, like, if you're, like, somehow telling someone something that you would not necessarily know.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's even
beyond their online profile.
Yeah. Or maybe it's something just their, like, closer friends know. It doesn't need to be, like, I've been depressed for months. Like, it doesn't need to go to that level. Like, I think a first date, like, there's still a level, right? But I think it's nice to, like, what are things that you share with your closer friends that you could potentially share with this new person and let them feel like you're bringing them into your life.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome. We're going to wrap this up. Well, thank you very much, Mindy, for sharing your story.
Thank you for having me.
Of an open, candid conversation about all of this. I feel like I learned 3 new things about you.
Yes.
So this date was a success.
Did we make you feel heard?
I did feel heard. Thank you. And I learned so much, too.
We didn't mansplain you.
I will text you for a second date. All right. Wrapping this up.
Stay Dateable.
The Dateable Podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts. Want to continue the conversation? First, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter with the handle @DateablePodcast. Tag us in any post with the hashtag #StayDateable. And trust us, we look at all of those posts. Then head over to our website, datablepodcast.com.
There you'll find all the episodes as well as articles, videos, and our coaching service with vetted industry experts. You can also find our premium Why series where we dissect, analyze, and offer solutions to some of the most common dating conundrums. We're also downloadable for free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Overcast, Stitcher Radio, and other podcast platforms. Your feedback is valuable to us, so don't forget to leave us a review. And most importantly, remember to stay dateable.